Morning, everyone. Greetings in Jesus' name this morning. I too wish to welcome you all to the service this morning. Trust you can worship with us. This morning, I decided to think about the calendar and have a message on Thanksgiving. I know I did one other time, but I couldn't find my notes. I couldn't decide if it was last year or the year before, but this Thursday is Thanksgiving, and yes, we as Christians should be having a Thanksgiving every day, right? But we do think about it a little more this time of the year. One evidence of that is that we're going to have off school on Thursday, and so we do think about Thanksgiving in a special way. I had to think about how the world, just like all the other holidays, it should have, if you want to call them holidays, should have some religious, some significance, something about them that brings their thoughts to God, have more and more conveniently bypassed God. On the way to church here, there's a big blown up turkey in the yard, and I don't know of any yard signs that talk about thanking God for what we have, but it's become known as another holiday. It's become known as a time of perhaps feasting and, of course, eating turkey and family gatherings and those type of things. And what is Thanksgiving to us? Well, Thanksgiving should be a little bit different to us. Perhaps we have followed the world's way also in making it a day of feasting instead of a day of thanking God. Perhaps we should think about that. But Thanksgiving should be different to us. Maybe it's a more of a time when we think about thanking God a little bit more this time of the year. But thankfulness is something that we actually have in our hearts all the time. As I was pondering if there's a difference between the Old Testament and the New Testament and the way we thank God and the way we remember God, and I think there is. I was reading through Leviticus. I looked up the word Thanksgiving, and Leviticus, I'm not going to talk about it a whole lot, but there was this peace offering that they give, and Moses, God gave Moses these instructions, and he called it an offering of thanksgiving, and he gave this ritual that they were to follow. And I think sometimes our Thanksgiving is a little bit like an Old Testament Thanksgiving, as to where we do it because we have to, or we do it because, well, the Old Testament saints did it as part of the law. And Leviticus 7 talked about the law of the sacrifice of peace offerings, which he shall offer unto the Lord, and if he offer it for a thanksgiving, it tells him how to offer this thanksgiving offering. It laid out a specific plan and way to do it. And as I thought about that, I thought, well, it's probably the difference between what we should be as New Testament saints living and the way they lived. We should be, this Thanksgiving should be within our hearts and coming out instead of God giving us instructions on how to have a peace offering and then the instructions on how to carry out the offering of Thanksgiving. And if you read through the New Testament, especially the life of Paul, we come up with just thankfulness was just bubbling out of his heart. And we'll talk about that a little bit more as we go, one of the reasons that might have been. And one of them is simply Jesus in our hearts today, in the way the work of the Holy Spirit and Christ in our lives, just God is present with us. And I believe as we recognize that and we think about his work in our lives and the forgiveness of sins and all of the what we know of, so much more that we know of God's plan for us, forgiveness of sins and eternal life and things that the Old Testament saints, if you would just read the Old Testament, would have struggled with a little bit. Well, David was full of thanksgiving. In fact, if you look up the word thanks, I believe David was the first one to use the word thanks in the Old Testament, and his psalms are just full of giving God thanks and thanking God for protection. And it reads, the Psalms read much like a New Testament example of thanksgiving. And I believe that we can read the Psalms today, and David is an example of giving thanks. Well, one of the things I wanted to look at a couple things, thinking about being thankful people. We certainly want to be thankful people, and we don't want to follow in the rut that the world has gotten into, where it seems like they kind of forgot who to thank. It reminds me of a song in our songbook that says, "I have someone to thank." It seems like, what's that saying? Imagine having so much and having no one to thank. It seems like that's where the world is at with what they have. But we see so much more of God in what we have as thankful people. There was I thought a little bit about this thought of we thank God before every meal. And thinking about being thankful people, I thought about how that we pray before every meal and we thank God for every meal. And I couldn't really find an Old Testament example of that. I'm just not sure. But Jesus was the first one that gave us an example of that, wasn't he? And I think there's probably Old Testament examples, but as far as just every time someone took food, he gave thanks. I think that was an example that Jesus gave us. And so let's turn and think about that a little bit, Matthew 15, and think about a little bit of what that does to us when we, before every time we eat, before we eat every time, what that does to us when we take our food, or before we partake of our food, we thank God for our food. I think it teaches us something subconsciously before we eat, and it teaches our children something. It teaches us that we are not the source of our own food. And so many times we live in such a way that we actually believe we are. We tend to be very proud people. When we sit down at a meal, we think in terms of paychecks, buying groceries, and we think in terms of hard work, planting things and harvesting things and setting it on the table. And yes, we play a role in that. But I think when we thank God, it takes our mind a little beyond ourselves and helps us to think about where everything that we have comes from. In Matthew 15, here we have the story of Jesus feeding the 5,000? But we have Jesus, he was preaching and teaching, and he had great multitudes following him, and it looks like they were in the wilderness about 3 days. And he called his disciples together and said, I have compassion on the multitude because they continue with me now 3 days. This is verse 32, Matthew 15, verse 32. They've continued with me now 3 days and have nothing to eat, and I will not send them away fasting lest they faint in the way. Apparently these people, this was in such a rural area, they must have had some water, but apparently they just didn't really have food. And it was in a very rural area where they didn't have access to food. And these people were so excited to follow Jesus that they forewent their food. And of course, you would have been too if you'd experienced verse 31. They saw the dumb speak, the maimed behold, and the lame to walk, and the blind to see. And they glorified the God of Israel. And this is what they were seeing. And they were following Jesus, and they were here, and they were hungry. And his disciples say unto him, whence shall we have so much bread in the wilderness as to fill so great a multitude? And Jesus saith unto them, how many loaves have ye? And they said, 7 and a few little fishes. And he commanded the multitude to sit down on the ground. And he took 7 loaves and the fishes, and gave thanks, and brake them, and gave to his disciples, and the disciples to the multitude. Now, when Jesus talked about feeding these people, the disciples were like, well, where are we going to get food? And there's just no place to find food. Well, Jesus didn't really have a problem with that because he knew that God could feed them. And so he asked for what they had found. They had, it looks like maybe they were carrying this on themselves for personal food. And he said, how many loaves have you? And they said, 7 and a few little fishes. So he asked them to sit down, and then he gave thanks for it. And the disciples were about to learn a lesson about God's provisions. It says he brake them and gave to his disciples, and the disciples to the multitudes. And they did all eat and were filled, and they took up the broken meat that was left, 7 baskets full. I find it very interesting what Jesus was teaching his disciples here. First of all, he taught them that God gives him food. Jesus was God's son. Satan actually tempted him to make bread himself. But Jesus was teaching them that the things we get from God. And he taught them that to give thanks. And this is, I believe, where we have our, I hope it's not a custom, but this is why we pray before we eat, because of the example of Christ. Everything we have, when we have food, we give thanks for it, and then we begin to eat. And it says he gave thanks, and they did all eat and were filled, and they took up of the broken meat that was left, 7 baskets full. And this was when they, this was the 4,000 they did eat, or 4,000 men besides women and children. So we can learn a couple things from Jesus here, and that is that God gives us our food. He can take the things that we need. He can take and provide for us. And this is something that we don't think about a lot in our country, in our day and age today, is that there would ever be a shortage of food. But these people were actually experiencing a shortage of food. And Jesus took the bread, and God actually multiplied it. And he gave them enough and leftovers. I don't know who took the leftovers home. They probably distributed them. I don't know. It doesn't really say. It says that they took up 7 baskets full. And we can learn some other things here too, as we don't waste the things that God gives to us. One of the things that the marks of faithful people is that we give thanks and we thank God for our food. And I think I've said it already, but think about what this teaches to our wee little children. When we sit down, we make them wait, and we pray, and we thank God for our food first. And I think it's something that we have learned from little one up, and sometimes we forget. But this is what Jesus was teaching his disciples, and this is something that is a mark of us, is that we recognize that God gives our food. And that it's something that we teach our children. And it's something that we teach ourselves as we pray and thank God for our food. I think we teach ourselves to depend on God. And so many times, I've said before, and I've actually heard people talk about how that their hard work has provided for themselves. And sometimes we think that and say that. And yet, God is actually the provider of everything. He actually gives us the strength to do our work and everything that we do. One of the other things, marks of thankful people are we're responsible for how we use our blessings. And we see Jesus picking up the leftovers here. And he saved them, whatever he did with them there, whether they distributed them or whatever they did. I kind of doubt they carried them by themselves, him and his disciples there, but they saved the leftovers. And the other thing to think about a little bit, this is something that we probably have never done. We of course have never, at least I have never, had an experience like Jesus had here where he prayed and asked God's blessing on the food and actually the food multiplied. But you notice Jesus actually didn't take credit for that either. He just said, gather up the leftovers. He didn't really tell his disciples that, see, I made that. I think he taught his disciples that God gave them everything that they had. One of the other things that Jesus taught us is he gave of himself. And one of the marks of thankful people are they give of themselves, and because they recognize that they are God's people. Whose are we anyways? We're God's people. God has created us, and he made us. Jesus was an example of this. Titus 2:14 talks about he gave himself for us. 2 Corinthians 8:5. Let's turn there. 2 Corinthians 8:5. It talks about the church at Macedonia. we want to talk a little bit more about this church here at Macedonia. It says, "And this they did, not as we hoped." And actually what had happened here, just looking into the setting a little bit more, is it seems like the church of Macedonia was very poor. They were a church that was impoverished. It looked like they had a lot of affliction in their church. And it looks like they wanted to give Paul a gift, and Paul did not want to accept it. But it seems like they, I'm not sure what word you want to use, forced themselves on Paul, or however you want to word it. That doesn't sound quite right. But it seems like they insisted that Paul receive the gift. And Paul says, "And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God." These people gave of themselves to Paul, and they were one of the things that stood out to Paul so much is that these people were in a great trial of affliction, and yet they were so happy because of the salvation that they had experienced. And it says, how in that great trial of affliction, in verse 2 here, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded under the riches of their liberality. And I believe that's talking about the work of Christ. One more example of Christ here before we go. I want to think a little bit more on 2 Corinthians there. Titus 2:14 talks about Jesus who gave himself for it. Maybe I'll just get the whole verse there. I have the part of it written down. Thankful people follow the example of Christ in giving of themselves. It talks about Jesus here. Look, Paul's exhorting the people looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people. That's Jesus gave himself for us, and one of the things we see as we look in 2 Corinthians here the Macedonian church, Paul is writing to the Corinthians. It's interesting looking at some of the things. One of the reasons that these people were so bent on giving was because of the work of Christ in their life. We said before how that these people, they wanted to give a gift to Paul, and Paul seemed to want to refuse it, but they ended up giving it. And Paul talks about the Macedonian church, and he's asking the Corinthian church he's writing to the Corinthians, and he's asking them to actually come together and give a gift to another church. And he uses them as an example. But one of the reasons why these people were so bent on giving was how rich they had become through the work of Christ. In verse 9, in chapter 8, verse 9, he says, "For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, and ye through his poverty might be rich." And he's talking to these Corinthians, and he's talking to them about how that we become rich through Jesus Christ, how he became poor. He became poor for our sakes. For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. And this is one of the reasons why we are thankful, is because Jesus was rich and he became poor for us. And through his poverty, we become rich. And I think that was something that the Macedonian church understood, is that they had been poor, and then Jesus made them rich. That's one of the reasons we give. One of the marks of thankful people are they're giving people because they've become rich because of the work of Christ in their lives. They become rich, even if not in material things, because of the gift of salvation and because of eternal life that Jesus has given to them. Paul talked to this church, to this Corinthian church, And it's interesting the way he was talking to them about giving. And he sent someone ahead to tell them that he was going to come and collect a gift. And he almost caught them. I'm not sure what terms he would use, but he told these people in chapter 9, he was bragging about them, basically, if I can use common language. Verse 2, he says, "For which I boast of you to them of Macedonia." And he's telling them how generous these people were. And he's telling them that they're going to he's going to come and expect a gift of them. Not for himself, but to give, to minister to other people. And I thought that was interesting, what he talked about, some of the things that I believe thankful people understand because of the great work that Christ has done. If we go down to verse 6 or verse 5, it's interesting what he told them. He said, "Therefore I thought it necessary to exhort the brethren that they would go before unto you and make up beforehand your bounty, whereof ye had noticed before, as that the same might be ready as a matter of bounty, not as of covetousness." So he's sending ahead warning about he's coming to get a gift of them to distribute to his saints. And he says, "He which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. He which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully." And one of the things we understand, I believe, when we're thankful, is we understand, for one, how much we've received. And we also understand that bountiful giving is also reaping. If not, and I really don't think we give to receive. And there's some of that thought in some of our churches here in the community about we give, and the more we give, and then the more God blesses. But I don't think Paul was really talking about that as much as simply when we give of ourselves, follow the example of Christ, we will reap bountifully. Where will we reap in today's world? Will we reap material possessions? Well, we might, I'm not sure. But it's not something, it's not the reason we give. We give because of what Christ has given to us. And we give not expecting anything in this life at all. I knew a man once, one time we were going through some hard financial things, and he was trying to convince me, and I'm not sure what you would call it, name it or claim it, religion, but he was trying to convince me to make a commitment to give so much to God, and then he was giving me some examples, and I think he had a lot of good points, but I didn't really like where he took it all. He gave me some examples of how they committed so much money to a certain cause, and then the very next week he got a raise, and it doubled the money. And I don't think that's why we're actually bountiful givers, that we actually give and expect God to return. But I did appreciate his whole approach. We were at a time when we were just too poor to give. And it's something to think about. If you want a crop of ryegrass, we plant ryegrass here in the fall, and sometimes you spread your seed and there's thin spots here and thin spots there. You don't get much in return. And Paul's trying to convince this church to give bountifully. He said, "He which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. He which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully." And then he encouraged them that every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. God loves a cheerful giver. He's giving the promises that God has given to us. And he's quoting some verses in Psalms, as it is written, "He has dispersed abroad, he hath given to the poor, his righteousness remaineth forever." "Now he that ministereth seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food, and multiply your seed sown, and increase the fruits of your righteousness." One of the things he's teaching them is when they give to the sower, they're giving to the sower, they're also part of his work, and they reap the harvest of what the sower has put out. But I think it's interesting the way he has to convince these people. He has to work hard. And the Corinthian church, I'm sure, was in much better shape than many of the others. And if we know our history, it seems like the Corinthian church was setting at a fairly wealthy church. But he has to convince them that if you give, God will bless you for it. And it's more blessed to give than receive. In Acts 20, verse 35, he talks about the words of Jesus, says it's more blessed to give than to receive. All right. The thankful people are giving people. And if we have trouble with giving, maybe we should see how thankful we are for what God has given to us. And overshadowing it all is the last verse. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. And that's talking, I believe, about this is one of the reasons I said before the Macedonians were so bent on giving was the unspeakable gift they had received from Jesus Christ. All right, some things we should think about in giving, just moving on to a couple things of thankful people, some lessons we can learn about giving and about thankfulness. One of the lessons we can learn is that some of the lessons we can learn about thankfulness. Unthankfulness promotes selfishness. And we often find ourselves in these shoes. We often find ourselves very selfish. And I had to think about how it comes out in our lives. And it probably comes out at home when we're at, you know how it is for us as parents. We tend to be selfish people. We tend to believe that we should be perhaps thanked for our hard work or what we perceive as our hard work. But it's not the example, and it's not the way that Jesus would have taught us. I don't really think, in fact, if you would have looked there in Matthew 15, as soon as they were done feeding those 4,000 people, Jesus went about his work. There was more work to do. He didn't stop working. He didn't take any praise for what he did for feeding the 4,000. I believe he left the blessing of God upon that food, and he went on with his ministry. And perhaps this is why Paul says, he taught us that thankful people are giving people. Romans 1:21, moving on to maybe a negative lesson. Unthankfulness creates negative things in our lives. I'm not sure I'm going to go into this verse a whole lot, but I thought the first part of the verse here is because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imagination. We can know God, but it seems as if we can sometimes forget to give God credit for everything that we have. And we imagine, and I think that one of the questions that goes is, where does evil come from? And I think these are people that are asking these questions, where does evil come from? And one of the things that we didn't look at a whole lot is how that everything really does come from God. I think we looked at that a little bit. all that we have in the world, all that we have today, all the good in the world is from God. And all the evil and everything that's wrong with the world is because of Satan's work. And I think people get this confused, as they know God, but they never glorify him as God. They don't glorify him as the person who gives them everything they have, as the person who gives them every good thing that they have. James 1 talks about this, and as I looked at these verses here recently, it's the verse, if we go to James 1 there, the verse is about temptation. It says, let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. Now, one of the things we would learn about God there is that God is not evil. Neither is he tempted with evil. And I thought it was interesting in the Sunday school lesson today, is that, what did God say about Job? He said, he fears God and eschews evil. Job understood something about God, and God understood something about Job's faith. Satan didn't quite figure that out, is that the way Job lived was not because of exactly what Job had, it was because he feared God. But then, if we go down here, if we go down, then he talks about how we're falling to temptation, and finally how sin and temptation brings death. And then he says, do not err, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift comes from above. And I think this is a continuing thought here of how that when people believe that God is evil, believe that God brings evil into their lives, and believe that God actually brings evil temptations, and they're not thankful, they don't glorify God as God, they're not thankful for who God is. And I think if we would take verse 16, let's say, do not sin, my beloved brethren. Nothing bad comes from God. All of these temptations that you have, all of these sins that you're tempted to be brought into, none of them come from God, but only good things. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. I always read that as sort of a different thought. In fact, I was thinking, the Bible I was reading this morning, that there was a paragraph sign after verse 15. But in mine, all of a sudden, there isn't. But I think the one I was reading this morning, there was. But I think the thought continues there. I think it's all one thought pattern where James says, do not err. Only good things come from God. Every good thing that you have is from God. And all of these bad things, like it's talking about in Romans 1:21, are not from God. And God cannot be tempted with evil. And I think that's the way that when we don't honor God as God, and we're not thankful for the things he has given to us, then we fall into this trap of believing that God is evil. And a lot of people, and I don't know, I probably didn't answer the question very well, is where does evil come from? And I don't know that there's an answer. Except that the bad things do not come from God. You have to accept that by faith. And I think that's where unthankful people begin to, when we're not thankful for God's work, we begin to fall because of that. First Timothy 4, 3 and 4, a few verses here I'd like to look at. Now, we're not going to really expound on these a whole lot, just thinking about it a little bit. Unthankful people, it seems, I guess these verses, maybe it wasn't, don't fit in real well, but I had to think a little bit about when we don't receive things with thanksgiving, In verse 4, every creature of God is good and nothing to be refused is received with thanksgiving. Unthankfulness changes our perspective on a lot of different things. It changes our perspective on things that God has created for us, including marriage, including food and everything else involved. Thankfulness changes our perspective on life. I was thinking about how often maybe sins that we fall so easily into are created by our lack of consciousness about God. And one of the verses I would turn to for this is Ephesians 1. And this is a familiar verse. Excuse me, that is Ephesians 5. No, that's not it. I'm sorry. Okay, it's 4. And I was thinking a little bit about how the thankfulness changes our perspective on life. And I think it goes back to the thought that when we thank God for things, we become conscious, or we recognize that there is a God that we fear and that we owe our existence to. If we go there to 4, how many times are unthankful people caught in so many sins because they're not thanking, they're not thankful? Paul talks about here, he says, we're not to be joking, foolish talking. And he said, don't do these things, but rather giving of thanks. And I'm going back to this idea of that when we're thankful, and we're always thanking God for our things, it creates a whole nother atmosphere to our day. If you start your day out with thankfulness to God for everything you have, and you start your day out thanking God for your food, it changes your whole perspective on the day to where you're actually probably not going to involve yourself in foolishness and in things that are sinful. And taking that. And so unthankful people become caught in many, many things because the recognition and the consciousness of God is not there. Ephesians 5:20 also talks about giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And he's given us a whole lot of warnings in there in this chapter of things that we are not to do. And talking about darkness. In verse 8, he says, you were sometimes darkness, and now you are light. And he's given us a lot of warnings in there and exhorting us to give thanks. And I think that as we give thanks to God and we thank and praise him for our food and all the things that we have, and in humbleness, we bow down and just recognize that he gave us everything. It just changes our perspective. It changes what we talk about. It changes what we think about. And it keeps us from the sins of the world around us. Thanking God brings us near to him and humbles us. Romans 14 is often a chapter we think about where Paul talks about not offending each other. Romans 14 gives us some exhortation about spending our time, whatever we do, due to God's glory. Romans 14, verse 6. I'm not necessarily thinking about regarding days or anything, but just the fact that if we go down to the second part of the verse, he that eateth to the Lord, for he that giveth God thanks. And he that eateth not to the Lord, he eateth not and giveth God thanks. And it talks about how here that life is so much more than ourselves. For none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. Whether we live unto the Lord. Whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's. Thankfulness helps us to remember this, that everything that we do We are God's. Everything that we do in our lives, God is involved in it. Whether we're eating, whatever we do. And we don't live to ourselves, we don't die to ourselves, but we live unto God. And no matter what happens to us, we die unto the Lord, whether we live therefore or die, we are the Lord's. And this is, thankfulness helps us to remember this. And it says, he that eateth to the Lord, for he giveth God thanks. And I think it involves more than that. It involves everything we do, whether we live or just as we live our lives. Everything that we do is done unto the Lord. And I think that as we thank God every day, let's make it a practice of more than just we do say prayers at the table. Make it a practice of more than just a ritual before our meal. Make it a practice of truly thanking God for our food, truly thanking God for everything, and most of all for the unspeakable gift of salvation. We should hear about that. Our children should hear about that a few times a day, about how thankful we are for everything that God has given to us. And I think it'll make a difference to whether we're thankful, and the world around us knows that no matter what happens, they can come and we're thankful people. Whether we're rich or poor, we are thankful people. They can come and know that we believe that we are blessed of God. And I think it'll bring fulfillment to our lives, and it'll give us a home in heaven as we worship God for what is given, for all the things that He has given to us.